Our next unit of social processes is social stratification. Question: define social stratification and critically examine the view that Marx has oversimplified the structure of stratification by reducing it to one factor, control of the means of production. Now, nature of social stratification. Social stratification and social differentiation are the two most important processes found in most of the societies. In the words of Gisbert, G-I-S-B-E-R-T, social stratification is the division of society in permanent groups or categories linked with each other by the relationship of superiority and subordination. According to Raymond W. Murray, stratification is a horizontal division of society into higher and lower social units. Now, brief historical review. Social stratification has been the search of social thinkers since ancient times. Plato and Aristotle both presented different ideas concerning social stratification. St. Thomas and St. Augustine also presented different theories. Views were expressed by Machiavelli, M-A-C-H-I-A-V-E-L-L-I, and Thomas Hobbes, T-H-O-M-A-S-H-O-B-B-E-S. But the most important theory of social stratification was presented by Karl Marx. According to Karl Marx, the history of all hitherto existing societies is the history of class struggle. Class struggle arises due to division of society into classes having opposite interests. Each class supports a particular class consciousness, giving rise to class conflict in classes having opposite interests. In modern times, Max Weber has also presented a significant theory of stratification. Pointing out intimate relationship between classes, status groups and parties, he said, parties may represent interest determined through class situation or status situation, and they may recruit their following respectively from one or the other. But they need be neither purely class nor purely status parties, and frequently they are neither. Now, inequality and stratification. Today, the study of stratification has assumed a central place in sociology. The study of the sources, patterns, and consequences of social inequalities has become a dominant pursuit of sociologists and is likely to continue to enjoy widespread attention so long as inequalities persist, and so long as they are consequential for the life chances and life patterns of the different strata that make up an society. According to Melvin M. Tumin, M-E-L-V-I-N-M.T-U-M-I-N, the characteristics of social stratification are as follows. First, it is social, that is patterned in character. Second, it is ancient, that is it has been found in all societies. Third, it is ubiquitous. Fourth, it is diverse in its forms. Fifth, it is consequential, that is the most important, most desired, and often scarcest things in human life, constitute the basic materials which are distributed unequally. If systems of stratification are ancient, universal, and basically alike in their main features, there must be some common social processes that bring such systems into being. shape them and maintain them. Four such processes can be identified. First, differentiation. Second, ranking. Third, evolution. And fourth, rewarding. On the basis of these four characteristics of the stratification process, we can distinguish between social classes like Indian caste and economic classes as found in the Western societies. Of these, while caste is based on close stratification, class is an example of open stratification, which means that it is possible for a person to go from lower to higher and vice versa in the social ladder. Each social stratification exhibits a hierarchy of social status with corresponding lower and higher social roles. The class consciousness leads to a lot of impediments in social cohesion. The members of each class tend to safeguard their own interest. It is undeniable that some sort of social stratification is almost universal, but it is wrong to assume that social classes are found in their pure form anywhere. With the growing means of transport and communication, these days, the barriers of classes are being broken. There is hardly any restriction on vertical or horizontal transfer from one class to another. Therefore, class distinctions are not rigid. They are changing. Different classes are breaking and giving place to new classes. Thus, the study of social classes should be conducted in the general context of the study of social mobility. The study of stratification, however, faces several problems. It has become more difficult in the modern industrialized Western societies. However, social stratification is subject of active discussion almost everywhere. To conclude, in the words of Tumin, in short, there are many more possible ways to organize societies and to motivate people to conscientious use of their talents. If man seeks for ever effective ways to maximize his social yield, not to mention his personal gratifications, it might very well pay him to examine those alternative possibilities. Now question. Caste is a closed clan. Discuss. Now, what is class? Sorry, caste. The word caste is used in everyday life and we use it to distinguish one person from another. We say that such and such person belongs to a particular caste. In saying it, we generally mean to convey that he is born of parents or is a member of the family said to belong to a particular caste. In this way, caste is a hereditary group, and in biology, the word is used only for descent or heredity. But this definition is inadequate for the purpose of sociology, since it requires a more comprehensive and clarified definition. Of the many definitions of caste offered by different scholars, some are reproduced on next. First, Sir Herbert Risley, H-E-R-B-E-R-T-R-I-S-L-E-Y. Risley has written that a caste may be defined as a collection of families or group of families bearing a common name which usually denotes or is associated with specific occupation claiming common descent from a mythical ancestor, human or divine, professing to follow the same professional calling and are regarded by those who are competent to give an opinion as forming a single and homogeneous community. Criticizing this definition of caste, Hutton has said, H-U-T-O-N, that it is the people of clan who claim descent from a mythical ancestor and not members of caste. Now, second, Martindale and Monarchy. Martindale and Monachesi. A caste is an aggregate of persons whose share of obligations and privileges is fixed by birth, sanctioned and supported by religion and magic. This definition of the caste is incomplete since it excludes several main characteristics of the caste. Now third, Ketker, K-E-T-K-E-R. A caste is a group having two characteristics. First, membership is confined to those who are born of members and includes all persons so born. Second, the members are forbidden by an inexorable social law to marry outside the group. The two characteristics of the caste highlighted in this definition do not hold water in all cases. Nowadays, members of one caste wed members of other castes. In South India, even people born outside the caste are at times included in the caste. Now fourth, D.N. Majumdar and T.N. Madan. A caste is a closed group. Expressing the same idea differently, Kule has written, when a class is somewhat strictly hereditary, we may call it a caste. The definition given by McIver and Page also resembles this to some extent. According to them, when status is wholly predetermined, so that men are born to their lot in life without any hope of changing it, then class takes the form of caste. These definitions are important in distinguishing between caste and class, but they do not exhaustively describe caste. Now fifth, A.W. Green. Caste is a system of stratification in which mobility, movement up and down the status ladder, at least ideally, may not occur. A person's ascribed status is his lifetime status. Birth determines one's occupation, place of residence, style of life, personal associates, and the group from among whom one must find a mate. A caste system always includes the notion that physical or even some forms of social contact with lower caste people is degrading to higher caste persons. The caste system is also protected by law and sanctified by religion. This definition of caste is more complete. Now, characteristics of caste. Modern thinkers consider it best to enumerate features of caste in defining it. This is what Hutton, Gurye and N.K. Dutt have done. Hutton, H-U-T-T-O-N, Gurye, G-H-U-R-Y-A, and N.K. Dutt, N.K.D-U-T-T. Of the predominating characteristics of caste, N.K. Dutt has mentioned the following. A. Members of caste cannot wed outside their own caste. B. There are similar but less strict laws governing the partaking of food with members of other groups. C. For many castes, the occupations are fixed. D. there are some accepted stratifications among the castes in which the Brahmins have been accorded the best place at the top. E. Birth determines the caste of the individual for his entire life, so long as he is not extradited from it for violating its laws. There is no other possible way of transferring from one caste to another. F. All occupations are based on the respect of the Brahmins. This description of the caste system by Dutta is a more comprehensive exposition, but this too does not take into account for the numerous variations presently taking place in the caste system. Actually, it is difficult to formulate a definite and permanent definition of caste. The most that can be done is to describe the features of the caste system in a particular context. Since the caste system is undergoing much modification and transformation, it would not be surprising if caste were eventually reduced to a word signifying merely a group. Since intercaste marriages are increasing and the restrictions on mutual behavior, exchange of goodwill and conduct are breaking, some people are changing their caste on the strength of their monetary wealth. The occupations for the various castes are no longer fixed. A member of any caste takes to any profession that he desires. The Brahmins have been deprived of much of their past glory and respect. Very few caste panchayats are to be seen, and even they have no control whatsoever over the members. Many people have started excluding their caste name from the name they use. In this way, caste is continually taking on the shape of class, and casteism is growing in the form of classism. Question: distinguish between caste and class. In the words of Ogburn and Nimkoff, a social class is the aggregate of persons having essentially the same social status in a given society. In this way, social class is a group of people who maintain or share external and internal unity. External congruence is the congruence of similarity of dress, customs, language, and other external cultural factors. Internal unity is the unity of thoughts and ideals, and most of all, unity of community sentiment. While caste represents closed stratification, class represents open society. Now, distinction between class and caste. Class. First, the membership, status, standard of life, etc. are based on objective facts. Caste. First, membership of caste is based on birth. Class. Second, there is open stratification in class, meaning that a person can change his class. Caste. Second, there is closed stratification in caste, meaning that a person cannot rise above his caste. Class. Third, the members of a class are class conscious. Caste. Third, there is no need for any subjective consciousness in members of caste. Class. Fourth, class system does not hinder democracy. Caste. Fourth, caste system does hinder democracy. Class. Fifth, an individual has comparatively greater freedom in a class. Caste. Fifth, in caste system there are comparatively more strict restrictions in marriage, etc. Class. Sixth, comparatively less social distance. Caste. Sixth, comparatively more social distance. Now question, what is class? Discuss class theory of Karl Marx. Now various scholars have given different definitions of class from different viewpoints. Some main definitions are the following. First, McIver. A social class is a portion of community marked off from the rest by social status. In this way, class is a status group. According to McIver, the consideration of the class as a status group renders it possible to apply it to any society which has many strata. Wherever a status group has a particular position in a hierarchy of ascent and descent, the status group can be called social classes. This not only separates the members of social status groups manifestly, but the sense of social status separates them even mentally. In the words of McIver, it is the sense of status sustained by the economic, political, or ecclesiastic power and by the distinctive modes of life and cultural expressions corresponding to them that draws class apart from class, gives cohesion to each, and stratifies a whole society. Now, second, Ogburn and Nemcoff. A social class is the aggregate of persons having essentially the same social status in a given society. This definition of social class bears some resemblance to the one given by McIver. Thus, social status is regarded as the main basis of social class. Third, Lapierre. Lapierre. A social class is a culturally defined group that is accorded a particular position or status within the population as a whole. This definition highlights two characteristics of class: a particular social status and a particular culture. Now, fourth, Ginsberg. A class is a group of individuals who, through common descent, similarity of occupation, wealth and education, have come to have a similar mode of life, a similar stock of those ideas, feelings and attitudes and forms of behavior, and who, on any or all of these grounds, meet one another on equal terms as belonging to one group. This definition of the caste is quite comprehensive. It would have transpired from the foregoing definitions of class that social class is a class or group of people who possess particular social status or position by virtue of which they possess some privileges, responsibilities and powers. In each class, there is class consciousness and a specific culture. Now, theory of Karl Marx. According to Karl Marx and Engels, class is based only on economic differences. In the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx and Engels have written, "The history of all hitherto existing society is the history of the class struggle." Marx and Engels have described classes as economic conflict groups which are divided on the basis of the possession of the various instruments of production. In this way, they believe an industrial society to be composed of two classes, the bourgeois capitalist and the proletariat laborer. Before the Industrial Revolution, there were two classes, landlord and the agriculturist. Since the main form of property was land, in this way, according to Marx, wealth determines the social status of the individual, and the basis of the class stratification is economic differences. Refuting the view of Karl Marx described above, McIver and Page have pointed out that classes are based not merely on economic differences, but are actually based on the social situations. McIver and Page have recognized the importance of wealth as one of the causes of class, but not as the sole cause, because there are other causes of class also. In this way, Marx's opinion is one-sided. From the viewpoint of sociology, it is incorrect to look upon economic difference as the sole cause of social classes. Two arguments refuting Marx's views are also important. First, if economic difference is accepted as the sole cause of the social class, classes which are not based on economic differences cannot be explained and are left out without being described. In this context, McIver has used Hindu society as an example. In Hindu society, the Vaishya is the wealthiest class, but is nevertheless given the third position in the social class, while the Brahmins, who are not usually wealthy, are most superior class. Even when the Brahmin served the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas for their livelihood, his social status did not suffer thereby. For a second example of classes of this type, McIver has mentioned landlords of ancient lineage. Though their financial situation does not compare favorably with those of traders and industrialists, yet their social prestige is far greater. Second, actually, economic difference is an external condition. Classes cannot be made distinct solely on this basis. The essence of classes is a class consciousness. It is due to this that members of a class experience a unity among themselves and a difference in relation to others. McIver has written, economic division does not unite people and separate them from others unless they feel their unity or separation. In this way, Marx stressed only the external aspect of class and completely overlooked its internal aspect. Other scholars have designated different bases of social class. Their description proves that economic difference cannot be accepted as the single basis of social class. Now, next file from the Taylor's book. Over.